If we turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 3, be our text. Before we get into that, I want to thank Avery for all of his work in Ashland 2 this weekend with the Water Day. A lot of kids had a fun and exciting time sliding down a bunch of slides of water and not, you know, staying under for too long once they got down. So thank you for all that, the pizza and everything else. This morning we get into a passage that hits pretty hard because you have to examine yourself and you have to kind of look deep within yourself when it comes to these truths. And I'm going to try to get it to hit you like it hit me. And before we get to that hammer verse of 2 Corinthians 6, verse 3, I kind of want to wind this up and set up this truth. Because in the last verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul has told us that now that we are in Christ, we're reconciled to God through His Son, He calls us something. And that is, He calls us ambassadors of Jesus, or ambassadors for Christ, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Something has changed. Now that you have been reconciled to God, something has changed. You're no longer living for yourself. You're living for your Satan. You're no longer living for your glory and just for whatever you want, but for the glory of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Your entire worldview and focus has changed now that you have become a Christian, because your eyes are constantly on Jesus. No matter what it is that you're doing, where it is that you are, your eyes are constantly on Jesus. And that simply means that now that you are a Christian, reconciled to God through His Son, you are a representative of the King that you serve. You're a representative of Jesus to the world that you walk into every single day, whether it's at work or at school or family or friends or marriage, wherever it is. You're a representative of Jesus wherever you are. That means the people that are around you, the people you meet, the conversations that you have with strangers, how you live and conduct your life every single day. Those things are a visible representation of the God that you serve. And there's no other way around it. Everything that you do is to be a visual representation of the God that you serve. And the people that you come in contact with need to see that you represent the King that you are an ambassador for within the activities of your life. That you are a credible messenger. Your message is believable because of the life that you live. This is where I wanted to hit all of us, that we are credible messengers. Now, the message of Christ is already credible. The gospel is already credible. It's been proven with signs and wonders. It was proven by Christ's resurrection, His ascension. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. I mean, everything's been proven when it comes to the gospel. That's true. The message of Jesus is already the most credible message in the entirety of the world. But what about the messengers of it? And this is what Paul is getting into. The gospel is the most credible message in the entire world because God is the one who gave it. But what about the messengers of it? Are you and I credible? I'll give you an example. How many times have we gotten those spam phone calls? I got one of those probably today sometime, where the phone number seems like it's been cloned for like a Murray number or a Benton number. It seems to be legit. And then you say hello, and there's this little pause on the other end. You have these? This little pause on the other end, and it sounds like there's a room that's filled with 100 people in it. And before anybody ever starts talking, when I hear that noise in the background, I hang up. And you know why? Because anybody who waits for 3 seconds and then sounds like they're in a room full of 100 people is either trying to sell you something you don't need, or they're trying to get information from you you don't want to get. So before they say anything, and I hear that background noise, I hang up. So if you call me and you wait for 2 or 3 seconds, I'm going to hang up on you. And if it sounds like you're in a restaurant in India, I'm definitely going to hang up on you. I'm not going to listen to a word you have to say. You haven't even said anything yet. But everything around you before you speak, everything around you has discredited the message that you're going to say to me. Now let that hit home. Everything, before you say a word, everything in the background, the noise that's in the background, has discredited your message to me. The atmosphere around you has made your credibility lacking with me. Think about that. Before anyone ever says anything, the noise in the background discredits the message they're going to say. And what Paul wants to make sure of is there's no obstacle in the way of the gospel when it comes to your life. The gospel is a truthful message, a truth-filled message from God. But there does not need to be an obstacle in the way of the one who is delivering it that would cause someone else to question whether or not we are telling them the truth about Jesus, because they don't see that truth in our lives. He wants to make sure there is no pause before we speak. That noise in the background, that there are no shadowy places in our lives telling those who are listening to us that we're actually something else other than what we claim to be. Paul says, I'm never going to place an obstacle to someone hearing the message of Jesus. I'm never going to place an obstacle when it comes to the ministry of the King of Heaven. Being ambassadors of Jesus, being a representative of the King of Heaven, is never a duty and never something that you get out of. It's never something you retire from, and it's never something you stop being. Everywhere you go, when you are a Christian, you're an ambassador. Now that you've been reconciled to God through Christ, His Son, you're an ambassador who is sent to give the same message to others. And what was that message? We went over in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. That for our sake, God made Christ, who knew no sin, to become sin, so that we might be the righteousness of God in Him. So you're an ambassador of that message. You give that message to other people because you have believed it, you have applied it, you are in it. So you represent the King who died for you now that you have obeyed His gospel. And you understand the importance of what people do with their life now in Christ. So as an ambassador, you know today's the day of salvation for everyone that's around you. And here's where we get to the hard to hear part. It's not that we're just messengers of the gospel. But Paul says you have to be a credible messenger of the gospel. And credibility doesn't just come from what you say. Credibility comes from how you live, what you say. It's not that you just have the truth, but it's that you're living the truth. Because you can speak the truth all you want to, but if you don't live it, and you don't show it, you don't manifest it, and if you don't have a passion for it, then you're not a credible messenger. People can see the evidence of the truth of Christ that you are living before you ever speak it to them. They can see how you're living the truth of Christ before you ever speak that truth. People outside of the world, they see something else besides the world living in you. Before you even talk to them about the reason, they see the reason in you. There are so many voices all around us all the time, telling us what to do, you know, telling us, giving us advice on so many things, how to live, you know, and so many voices trying to compete and vying for our attention. People saying, this is what you should do, or this is what you should be, or this is what you should do in your life, and this is what you should do with your health and your finances and your family, and this is what's true and this is what's wrong. And there's so many voices giving you so many messages. They're kind of like pop-up ads, you know, on the screen of your life. You know, the YouTube commercials right before you watch a video, right? Which voices do you choose to take in, and which voices do you choose to dismiss? How do you conclude that something that is being given to you is a reality, is truth, is something that you want, something that you need, or if it's something to be dismissed? And for most of us, the decision comes from credibility. You see a person talking, but you see what that person is talking about is not just noise, all right? What that person is talking about is not just a message. It's something they have lived, something they've experienced, something that they love themselves. You trust a message when you see the results of that message within the messenger. Just please remember that. When you see the results within the messenger, you believe the message that that person is talking about. You trust a truth when you see that truth in real life. You don't listen to someone if their credibility is questionable. Let me give you an example. Someone tells you they just got out of prison like a year ago, and they got arrested again this morning for the same offense. Are you going to listen to them lecture about morality to you? Probably not. If someone is really bad with money, they're in like millions of dollars of debt, are you going to listen to them about what to do about a retirement plan? You're not going to listen to somebody talk about modesty when they're wearing next to nothing and showing off all kinds of skin that shouldn't be shown to anything but their wife or husband, are you? In other words, you can't talk about modesty while you're wearing a bikini. Or like I told my nephew last week, that you're wearing shorts that look like they belong to your little sister. You have credibility before your message ever hits someone's ear. Messages have credibility within themselves, absolutely. But an obstacle can appear from the person
who is giving the message. And it can be an obstacle that keeps the person who needs to hear the message from hearing it. So Paul says, I am never going to place an obstacle in the way of the ministry of Christ. You are not going to hear or see me place an obstacle in the way of someone hearing the message of Christ. When we tune into something, it's because the credibility, not only of the words, but the action behind the words. If you're looking to find a mechanic, all right? Every car that person's worked on has broken down a mile from their shop. Are you going to take your car to that mechanic? No. It's not just about what they're saying. I'm a mechanic, but every car that you've tried to fix is still broken. I don't care if you say you're a mechanic. You're not, and I'm not taking my car to you. It's about not only the message, it's about the credibility. And Paul's been battling it out when it comes to this book, because the people in the Corinthian church, there's this group that's trying to destroy Paul's credibility within the Corinthian church. And in the world of Christianity and within the church, you're not going to listen to someone who doesn't have credibility. I have a very easy time looking around outside of me, you know, from a distance away at people who I don't think are credible. People who I see acting in certain ways and doing certain things and talking in certain ways. And I take what they say with a grain of salt. And I can look around at people all day long and find fault with them. But when was the last time I asked a question? Am I a credible Christian when it comes to the message that I'm to give to others? Does my life show other people the credibility of the messenger? The message is already credible. The gospel is credible. But is there something in my life that's an obstacle of someone else seeing that message? So that's what we're going to be talking about this morning, and however long it takes to get through this section of Scripture. It all has to do with cultivating credibility. All this section does. So that when time comes to speak the message of Christ, your life has already spoken how much you believe it. So this is how Paul opens up the section in verse 3. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that fault may not be found with our ministry. Now, did you know that the ministry of this church, just think about all the good that the ministry of this church does, whether it be the can ministry and helping people out when it comes to bills and everything, when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to the missions, think about all the ministries. Do you know that the ministries of this church can be discredited by how you represent Christ outside of these walls? Did you know that? That all of the good, all the things that are good that are done here at Union Hill, when you go out and you represent the church and you put an obstacle in the way because you're not living how you need to live, all the good can be an obstacle, or you can be an obstacle to all the good that's been done. Every life, every person in here is a representation of those who go to church here. Did you know that? That when you're outside of these doors and these walls, you're a representation of this church wherever you go. The church that Jesus bought with His blood. And if you are living a life that is an obstacle, that they will see this church in a different light than they should because of you. The choices you make outside of your life, if it's not lived according to Christ, your life can be an obstacle to someone else living for the message of Christ. So for those of you, just give me an example. For those of you who are dating, the decisions you make with that person, when it comes to lines being drawn, or when it comes to physical boundaries, being holy in your dating behavior, doing things that you know and honor God, things that you wouldn't, you know, didn't honor God, all of those things can affect how they see your faith before you ever speak your faith to them. Now that can be either on the negative or the positive. So when you're dating, you can actually show that person your faith without ever speaking it to them in the first place. And after they ask about your faith, they will see and know and have credibility in your behavior that you did before. And if your actions tell others that you're not living for the message of Christ and you're only speaking it, you have become an obstacle to other people. And we see this all the time when it comes to the credibility of ministers and preachers especially. Recent years have brought up an excess of Christian leaders falling into sin and falling into sin, falling into sin. People whose voices were heard by thousands and thousands have disappeared from the landscape, or they preach with little to no effect because they have become more of an obstacle than a help. One of the saddest things in the world is to see someone who once powerfully proclaimed the message of Christ only to have their sinful conduct discredit them outside of the pulpit. Many of you remember a man named Bert Thompson in the early 2000s. genius of a guy, battled for a quarter of a century on the topic of creation versus evolution. He became the director of Apologetic Express at age 30. He ran it for 25 years. But in 2005, he was fired from Apologetic Express due to an allegation of molesting young boys. His reputation was forever destroyed. And no matter how much good he was able to do before that, whenever I see his name on an article or a citation or an old video of one of his lectures, I just kind of cringe thinking you're my own son. Now, he did a great amount of good when it comes to all of the forums that he hosted, all of the debates that he did, everything. It was great. But no church would trust that man to be the minister. No Christian publication would put his name on the end of an article these days. And it's not because of what he preached, and it's not because of how he preached. All of those were amazing and awesome things. It was solely based on his choice of conduct. And that put up an obstacle for everyone else. And they couldn't see through that. And it's all based on credibility. Like it or not, the sinful actions and the sinful life of any ambassador of Christ can ruin the effectiveness of their ministry. Yes, anybody can be forgiven of sin, and like we talked about before, the author of this book knows all too well about that, the chiefest of sinners, the man who persecuted the church, the Apostle Paul, he knows all about it. But the minds and memory of people do not forget very easily. I remember sitting at the feet of I would call him a giant in the brotherhood. He was a preacher for more than 60 years. He wrote songs that we sing in our songbook. He wrote what seemed like hundreds of books over his lifetime, thousands of pages of articles written in publications. But his wife left him. There was no infidelity. There was no cheating. I don't know why she left. Never asked. I just know that when there's divorce, there's sin somewhere in that relationship. And I remember sitting at the feet of that same man after that happened, and his words did not carry as much weight, knowing what I knew about him. Now, I did not know any of the situation. None of it whatsoever. It wasn't that he was teaching something wrong or unbiblical, but his words did not resonate as loudly as they once did for some reason. Now, it might have been sin on my part. I don't know. But we see this all the time when it comes to the credibility of someone becoming an obstacle to the message that's being taught. And you can put faces to these scenarios. A minister has an affair at a church. You've heard of this, I don't know how many times. A minister has an affair at a church. The reputation of that church tanks in the community. Membership struggles. The community turns their back on someone who would do that. Leaders are caught stealing money, squandering it away when it comes to the church. And when they're caught, credibility is out the window. And the community just kind of turns their back. Any reputation they had becomes an obstacle now for what they speak. I'm not saying you have to have a perfect and stellar reputation, but I'm saying credibility is very important. Because if you're not a credible Christian, you're not living what you say before you ever say it, no one's going to listen. This is not something new, by the way. The Apostle Paul fell into this, no telling how many times, with people that he worked with. One example that comes to mind is a man named Demas. He was a leader in the church. He was loved and respected. He was mentioned alongside of men like Luke. If you're mentioned alongside of Luke, like in Colossians chapter 4, verse 14, a guy who wrote a book of the Bible and walked with Jesus, I think you're in pretty good company. But later on in Paul's ministry, in 2 Timothy 4, verse 10, we discover that Demas loved the present world, forsook the Apostle Paul, abandoned the faith, and walked away in the darkness of sin. Demas may have been a great help in the beginning. He may have been a great help in the ministry of Paul in the beginning, but his conduct discredited him later. That's why Paul comes back and says, we put no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found in our ministry. Godly people have credibility. Genuine Christian messengers have credibility. When I want someone to tell me about how to get through a godly relationship of marriage, I want someone who has been through 50 or 60 years. If there's infidelity or cheating that happens in my marriage against me, I want someone to talk to me who tried their best to forgive that spouse and to reconcile, because people who have behaved in the most godliest of way possible have credibility with me. are they with you? People who have behaved in the most godly way possible have credibility with you. They have credibility with me. It's the ungodly who have no credibility. If you have tried to forgive someone of something, and you have tried in a very public way to forgive someone of something, you have so much credibility with me. The other side of that coin is, if Casey left me for some reason, I would stop marriage counseling altogether. And you know what? If I run a farming operation into the ground, is someone going to come to me and say, hey, I'm starting up a farming business. Can you help me out? Because your conduct destroys your credibility. It's like the verse in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4 when we're talking about the qualifications of elders. It mimics this beautifully. In the qualifications of elders, it says he must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children in submission. Now that's all conduct. That's all stuff that you see on the outside. It's conduct. Why does he have to have that as a qualification? Because if someone doesn't know how to manage his own house, then how in the world can he care for the church? The credit and the qualification, the conduct comes before anything is ever said out of the mouth. For those of you in the church who have tried to reconcile with anything that's ever happened in your family, anything that's ever happened when it comes to you, have so much credibility when it comes to anything that you say to me. If you say something to me to give me advice about a situation like that, I will listen because I've seen your conduct and I've observed your conduct and I rejoice that you conducted yourself in that way because your words match up with what you live and you can tell me advice anytime. If there was something that happened in this church and I was struggling to handle it, wondering what to do, and it was breaking my heart, I go to godly men who've had to deal with far worse than I've ever had to deal with in the church, and I ask them what to do. Before I came here, I almost quit preaching when I was about 22. One of those things that happens, you know, that makes you question why you're doing something, makes you question if you really want to work with people that much. And I went to John Dale because he lived a faithful life inside and outside the pulpit from the time that I've ever known his name. So I went to him because he has credibility, and I listened to someone because they have credibility. And when he spoke to me about what to do and handle the situation, I listened. Because he had been through those types of things. And I knew his conduct way before I knew whatever was going to come out of his mouth. So you can thank John Dale for me still preaching. And you can call him up and say, you should have let him quit because we would have a better preacher now. If I was having trouble with my kids and someone else is having trouble in the same way, and I've watched them and I've interacted with them and I've seen what they've done and I saw how they're handling it in a godly manner, then guess where I'm going to go when I have the same issues? I'm going to go to them because I've seen their credibility before I ever know what's coming out of their mouth. Godly people have credibility. Their conduct matches their character. And their conduct matches what they confess. Here's where it hits home. Are you a credible Christian before you ever open your mouth? Do you have credibility when it comes to being a messenger of Jesus Christ? Or do the words that you say about the Bible or about God or about the gospel have an obstacle in front of them because they don't match up with what you live? An obstacle that comes from the fact that what you confess when put beside the conduct of your life doesn't add up. Paul says we don't put an obstacle in the way of anyone so that no fault can be found in our ministry. So if you spoke the gospel to someone else, and you claim to be a Christian, an ambassador of Jesus Christ, could someone find fault with that statement rather easily? Because your life speaks to people before you ever open your mouth. Just like that scam phone call. Your life speaks to people before you ever open your mouth. And if your credibility is contaminated because of the conduct of your sin, and it's stained because of the life that you're living, even though you claim to be a Christian, you have to repent. One of the greatest evidences of credible people is when they repent, when they know when they've done something wrong and they own it. You know the most credible Christians are the ones who know when they're wrong. We'll get into this in a few chapters, but it's those who present godly sorrow for for the sins they've committed, which means in front of God, they know that they've sinned. They know that they've transgressed. And they know that they can only go to God to have those transgressions removed. If you look at the life of the Apostle Paul, it turned a complete 180 from where he was going to what he became. He was the chiefest of sinners, and yet his life showed he turned towards God. His conduct showed that he turned towards God and continued to walk with him. I hope that your life shows a sin. That you were a sinner. That you were living according to the flesh. But now you live by faith in the Son of God. That he that believes and is baptized will be saved. But that belief and that trust has changed you. The grace that has been given has transformed you. If it hasn't, then start becoming a credible Christian today by confessing that you're not, and build from there. We're all sinners, but Christians have to be transformed by the grace of God. When you come to Christ, you deal with your sin, whatever they are. When those sins are dealt with by nailing them to the cross, you start shining a light that becomes an example to others, and that conduct is seen before you ever open your mouth. So start shining a transformed light this morning. Come follow your King. Let's go to the stage.